All right, so to catch people up, because we've got some new people here this morning, this year Cornerstone has been working on being more devoted to God. Every series that we've done has worked on more things. We went through being devoted to God. We looked at the fruits of the Spirit that we should be producing. And now we're looking at the gospel and what the gospel is and how that affects different areas of our lives and how we can share that with other people, because that's what we believe this is all about. Our mission and goal here at Cornerstone is to lead people to Christ and to be conformed into His image. So we spend all of our time and resources with that goal in mind, is to make Jesus known to the world. So what is the gospel? We kind of have to start off with that each Sunday while we're doing this, so that we can understand what it is and where it's coming from. So we're not going to just be talking about the gospel today, but also how the gospel addresses money. And it's important that we know what this gospel is. So the gospel is good news, right? That's what we talk about. It's the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born here on earth, and that for 33 years He lived this perfect, perfect, sinless life. And then He was put onto the cross to die, and He died on the cross. And then 3 days later, He was raised from the grave, and He defeated death once and for all and died for the forgiveness of our sins. So that is the great news. Before that, there was not a way that we could reach God. So God said, hey, guys, I'm going to make an easy way for you guys to do this. And it's a lot easier than what it once was, but we still have our commitments on our part, right? So that's like the factual and historic components of the gospel. And most of us would say that we believe the truths of the gospel, I think. We believe that they're important to us and that we try to live in the light of these truths. But is there anything that can cause us to give up the gospel, to start to not believe that Jesus is our Savior? I think that we want to say, no, I'm fully committed. There's nothing that can take the gospel away from me. And it's like, well, is there like anything in this world that you desire so much that you're willing to take that life and death and the resurrection of Jesus and trade it and exchange Him for your own desire, for something that you want more than you want the gospel? And then I started thinking about, okay, well, when we think of money, we can think about Judas first of all, right? So Judas was one of Jesus' disciples. He followed Him around for the 3 years of His ministry after Jesus called him to follow Him. He witnessed Jesus' miracles. He got to see Him turn the water to wine, if He was present for that one. He got to see Him definitely heal the sick. He got to see Him raise Lazarus from the dead. He got to see all these wondrous things happen throughout the ministry. He was even one of the 12 followers of Jesus that was sent out to do works of their own in Jesus' name. So he got to see all this really cool stuff. I don't see how he could see everything that he saw and still do what he did. Whereas whenever they are at the Passover, like we were talking about, the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus starts talking about everything, he says, there's going to be one of you guys that are with me here today that's going to betray me. And we want to think that, you know, Judas is maybe like a little beady-eyed guy, and he's super evil-looking and all this stuff, and he would be easily spotted, but all the disciples started looking around going, which one of us is it? Will you tell us plainly who it is? They were wondering. So there was no way to identify Judas just by looking at him and his physical characteristics. He was one of them that followed around. They had a mutual trust amongst everyone, but Jesus knew that there was a betrayer amongst them. And he sent Judas off that day, and he went off to the Sanhedrin, and he traded the gospel of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And I started wondering, like, how much is that? Like, what was his level that he's willing to forsake the gospel of Jesus and say that I don't really trust him anymore? And from what I researched, it looked like it was about $3,000. So for $3,000, he went out and gave up Jesus and said that, here, you guys can have him. Now, we don't know that he knew exactly what was about to happen, even though Jesus had said what was going to happen. I don't think he really got that. But for 30 little pieces of silver, $3,000, he said, I'm not going to trust in what Jesus says anymore. I don't trust that he is who he is. I'm going to give him up to these people. So then I start thinking, like, what was it that Judas wasn't buying into? What was he missing in the gospel? And I'm like, man, I would never, ever, ever trade Jesus for any amount of money, no matter what you threw at me. There's no way that I would forsake Jesus for, you know, $3,000. No way. But then I start thinking, man, I've been through quite a few times in my life where I start thinking, you know, maybe God isn't providing enough in this area, so I'm going to go out and do something to take some money. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make it happen because God's not taking care of me and I have to do it myself. Am I the only one that's been like that? For the recording, everybody raised their hand. Nobody raised their hand. I'm the only one that has gone out chasing money ever. So I like become obsessed with something so much that I allow it, my obsession, to take over, and then I can make some financial mistakes. I start thinking that God isn't providing me with things that I need and that I need to accumulate these things. I could name some things, and you guys even know of some things that I've made some mistakes on purchasing. But I did it, and it was really out of just an obsession, and I was really going, you know, God, I don't trust you that everything you've given me with all these things that I have, you haven't given me enough, and I'm going to go and overextend myself and do something, and I wasn't trusting the Lord that way. So I've never been, like, really greedy about money, though. I've never been one that I want to, like, hang on to money or do something with it. I'm, like, quite the opposite of that. If I'm not careful, I'll, like, give away too much money to help other people. That's a bad habit of mine that I keep getting in trouble for. Because I like to, you know, if I've got some extra or I have even not some extra, then I like to try and give that away to other people that I feel like are in more need than me. But I've definitely struggled with putting way too much importance on the dollar bill, on a lot of money. That was a big struggle of mine, is looking and wanting to be super rich. That was my goal, and my aim was to be super rich, either computer programmer or something like that. That's what I wanted to be. So how can money become an issue in our lives to where we're not trusting Jesus with everything and where it becomes like a real problem? And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy 6:10, and it may come up on the screens. I don't know if I caught all the scriptures this morning in haste, so maybe it does. There it is. So 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So for the love of money, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. So whenever all I was doing is chasing money, I really kind of had wandered away from my faith and my trust in God. I believed that I had to do all this, that I had to go out and do things. And some of the things that I was doing weren't exactly the righteous way of making money. I did really well selling things online. And some of the things that I sold online were not things that I would have recommended in person, that people could have known me and came back to me. Instead, it was selling it all to anonymous people online, and it didn't really matter then whenever I'm making a lot of money, as long as I'm making a lot of money. So years ago, I made mistakes like that by chasing after the dollar bills. So how can loving money become a problem in our lives is what I started wondering as I was studying this. Like, what about it can cause us to have problems? Why can't you love some money and still love some Jesus, right? Well, the first two commandments, I'm going to summarize, tell us exactly how money can become a problem. The first commandment is, "You shall love no other God before me." You shall put no other gods before me. And also number two, "You shall not make idols." So how does money become a god to us? Like, I'm trying to follow the logic of this. Well, money becomes a god to us whenever we start to believe that money equals security. Like, if I have enough money, then I can achieve this certain level of income or savings, and then life is going to be grand. I'm going to be secure in everything. But the truth of that is that there's really no security in our life. I mean, how many rich people can you think of, and you don't have to, like, call out any kind of names or anything, but rich people that you can think of that have died? Anybody think of any rich people that have died? How much of their money did they actually get to take with them? None of it. So whatever wealth they accumulated here, you don't get to take any of that with you into your casket whenever you're gone away from this world. That's it. You don't get to have any money. So all the money that you worked so hard to save up on and sacrificed, all the things that could have happened, none of it gets to go with you. And then what I've seen many times is everybody that was around you want to fight over what you actually earned. So there's no security in building up all of this earthly wealth that we're able to build up. And the truth is that the only security that we have is in Jesus Christ and trusting Him as our Lord and Savior and building up treasure in heaven. That's the security that isn't false, and it's a security that lasts forever, right? You guys tracking with me so far, following? So what we build up here for heaven lasts forever. What we build up here on earth just lasts while we're here. And it's not, there's no security in that. But we can start to believe that and start making that a god in our life or an idol in our lives. The next thing is money promises power. If we have a certain amount of money, then I'm going to have the power to make things happen. If I have enough money, then nobody can control me anymore because I can buy my way into whatever I want. If I have enough money, then I could help some people and I could stop world hunger completely if I were the richest guy around. But how far will we go to help those people? Would we give up our church, going to church? Would we give up being trying to be righteous and obedient to God just so that we could earn the money to where we could help all these people that we're wanting to help? Where does it stop as to where we're willing to stop to gain this power? Would we give up our relationship with our kids so that we could attain this wealth? How many people that are very, very successful hardly have any time for their families? It's kind of scary that they leave everything by the wayside. They give up on what Jesus wants because they're busy chasing this money. And it can be some believers that are doing that as well. But the Bible says that we as believers already have power in Jesus' name, more power than we can imagine no matter how much money we have. Is Bill Gates still the richest person in the world? No. Bill Gates was at one time the richest person in the world. But all that power that he had, buying power and everything, the Bible says it is nothing compared to the power that we have in Jesus' name. The greatest power that we need and the deepest place in ourselves that we need to have power is the power over sin. We get that in the freedom of Jesus. I think that's pretty cool that we can get that by trusting Him. We get it through the gospel and we get it through the power of Jesus to say no to Satan. That's a big, mighty power that we can use in Jesus' name. We have the power through Jesus to be part of an entire other kingdom where we're ambassadors in this one. And we get to see if the power that we get to see here on earth while we're trusting in that kingdom is that we get to see lives changed here by spreading the gospel to other people around us. We get to see that. That's way more power than what we're ever going to see with the power of money. The disciples ran around with hardly anything, and they still got to see thousands of lives changed. They stored up a lot of treasure in heaven, and people are still storing up treasure in heaven with far more power than what they could have with money. So we start to believe that it equals security, that money equals security. We start to believe that money can give us power, and we also start to believe that money promises recognition, right? If we have enough money, then we're going to be recognized. We're going to get our egos stroked, and that's like a prideful thing, right? That we just want people looking at us and thinking about how much money we have and how great we are. We can have people think how smart we are or how lucky or whatever the case may be. If you win the lottery, then people are going to look at you, and they're going to want to be just like you. They're going to look up to us if we have this certain amount of money that we have in our minds, that if we had that, we could have this recognition. You'll have people coming to you asking you for advice, and sometimes it really has nothing to do with money. Like if you're successful, somebody may want to know, you know, which side of the bed you sleep on so they can mimic that in order to try to make as much money as you. You know, that's the way that it seems to work. I've read a whole lot. Whenever I was just all about making money, man, I was reading all these books about how people got wealthy, how they accumulated this stuff. And it was down to that, like, you know, we'd sleep this much per night, and like there's a science to this kind of thing. So I was following all that kind of stuff. But I don't anymore. So even in like areas where you're not an expert, people still want to be that. But you still get to be recognized. You get to have your name on magazines and newspapers, be on TV, on the radio, all this recognition because you've accumulated some wealth. But to me, there's only one recognition that is important in this world, one recognition that we need to have. The Bible even teaches us that there is an important recognition that we need to have far more than any kind of money can ever get us, and that's that we be recognized as the bride of Christ. That whenever He sees us in heaven standing before God, that He says, that, I know you, And then God is able to forgive our sins. It's already been forgiven, and we're able to enter into the gates of heaven. That recognition is far more important than what any kind of money will ever get us in this lifetime. If we are not recognized by Jesus whenever we pass from this lifetime to the next, this right here is what Jesus himself said, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I want to be recognized by Jesus. I don't want to stand in front of him and he say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because if you're not spending an eternity with Jesus, if you're not recognized by him, then you're going to be spending an eternity without him in a real place that Jesus talks about more than heaven, and that's a real place called hell. Being recognized by Jesus is far more important than being recognized by people on TV or newspapers or magazines or anything. So money promises freedom. Jesus promises freedom forever from our sins. Money promises comfort. Jesus promises no more tears, and he's got a place for us in heaven. Money promises opportunities and blessings, and Jesus promises treasure in heaven that's going to last for an eternity. So money makes all these crazy promises, and if we're not careful, we can turn money into an idol and start looking to that more than what we look to the Lord. And that's where we start making a mistake. We have to recognize that everything that we have, all of our money, is gained from God. God gives it to us. He blesses us. Like he blessed King David. He blessed King Solomon. He gave all them blessings. All their wealth accumulated up because he was blessing them. So he gave every last bit of that to them. And he does the same thing for us. If we're smart or whatever, or we work hard, God gave us these bodies to work hard and do the things to accumulate our wealth. And he can bless us in so many other ways. So that happens, but we have to be sure and recognize that it all comes from God. If we don't, we may start to make that into an idol. The gospel says to trust Jesus with everything. That tells us that the hard time that we're going to have if we try to be rich, like if we're focused on that, it's going to become far more difficult to do the things that we need to be doing. And there's a story of a rich man who came to Jesus to ask him what it is that he needed to do to gain salvation. Let's read about him in Matthew 19, verses 16, starting on verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, talking about Jesus, saying, Teacher, and some translations say, Good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And then the man said to Jesus, Which ones? I'm trying to get legalistic about this, right? That's what we always try to do, is get legalistic. Which one? He asked. And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your mother, father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, then go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The guy had made money like his idol. That was far more important than what Jesus was offering to him. That's scary to me, that we can still do that. We can still fervently be trusting Jesus, but still get led astray from what money can do for us because of our blessings. So we have to be careful to seek out God and what we need to do with our finances. It's so, so important. So the guy was like telling Jesus, the creator of all things, like there from the beginning, we'll be there at the end. I don't really want to follow you, I really want all my stuff that I have here on earth, my big house, my car, my BMW motorcycle. That's what he wanted more than what he wanted Jesus. So I want to be clear that it's the love of money that is evil. It's not money itself that's evil. Making money isn't evil, but prioritizing money over our Lord and Savior is where we start working into sin. Letting money turn us into envious and selfish and greedy or covetous people who focus solely on our own wants and desires is what money can do. So what we learned in our Sunday school class is the story of God, right? We look at the story of God from the very beginning until the end. We're looking at the whole thing, and it's all God's story. Like, everything from the beginning of the Bible to the end is all about God, and then how we fit within that story. So everything is about God, and it's our choice whether we want to follow him or whether we want to say, no, I want to follow something different. So whenever I start thinking about money, the other thing that I start thinking about with finances and my finances and everyone else's is, like, not too long ago I was having a conversation with someone about how much money should you give to a church out of your finances, how much money should you give? And at Cornerstone, we answer that question with Scripture. And it's back there on the wall just above the vase so that you can always see it back there of our answer to how much money should you give. It comes from 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's the freedom that we have in Christ. God has freely given us everything, including his Son. So how much do we want to give back? Give back as much as we can cheerfully. There's no set amount like there was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament required 10% of everything. All of their income, everything required 10%. But now we have God that's given us everything. It's all finished. So we get to decide how much we can give to the work of God. So what's money used for in a church anyway, right? Start thinking about, like, what do churches use money? And I can't tell you what money's used for in other churches, but here at Cornerstone we have, like, a budget sheet, tells you exactly where all the money is going and how much we have budgeted. And at the end of the year we'll see how over budget we went on some things, and some things will come in under budget, and hopefully everything kind of evens out is the way that works. Because here for Cornerstone, we use the money for our utilities, you know, electricity and internet and phone and things like that. We use it to buy equipment that we need for things. We use it for benevolence, giving to people in need. We do a lot of that, and we have overextended our budget quite a bit because I really believe that we're blessed. We're blessed here at Cornerstone. We've never talked about tithing or talked about anything, yet we're blessed. We are always paying our bills and taking care of things here at Cornerstone from what you guys give, what I give. It takes care of the church and our mission. We're able to give plenty of way to other people to help them out, however they're needing help. So we've done great in those areas. Like, we know that whenever we're giving to our church family, we're going to be taking care of them, and that's one of the things that we do at Cornerstone very well, I think, is taking care of not just our church people whenever they're in need for something, but taking care of other people in the community. I'll see people on Facebook that are asking for help sometimes, and I can message them and have conversations. We're able to help people, or sometimes people will call and need help, and we're able to help people through the financing of the church here. So that's where our stuff goes. And like for Amber and I, we give to the church, and we also give to people outside of the church. And that's where I said I can get myself into trouble, because sometimes I'm like, man, I know that we're like over budget on this stuff. So Amber, do we have some money that we can give to them? And we'll end up taking some money out of our own personal budget and give it to them. We have money that comes out of our bank account every month to some ministry. So we give all that we can, and that's the freedom that we get in Christ. It doesn't have to be 10%, or it can be more than 10%. Francis Chan tries to give away 90% and live on 10%. That's what he feels convicted to do, so that's what he tries to do. So we need to always remember that God provides our income. He is our sole source of everything, our strengths. Everything that we use to accumulate the wealth that we have here is given to us by God. If we focus on him and His will, and He blesses us, we need to remember that, and we can give back whatever we feel like He wants us to give back at the time, whatever we can give. So we need to give. God tells us to give. Take care of the poor. Take care of the widows. Take care of people. That's what we should be using our finances for, to take care of people and take care of our own families for sure, but bless people as much as what we can do. We need to remember that the gospel of Jesus, that God's given us everything already, including Jesus, who came and lived that perfect life and died on the cross so that we could live for eternity. That's like everything, and that's far greater than anything. Trusting Jesus, trusting the gospel, is far greater than anything that we can ever get around here. Cool trucks, cool motorcycles, cool houses. Jesus, what He has for us, is far greater than anything that we have here. So we need to trust Him with everything, including our finances, and start storing up the treasure where it really, really matters, and that's in eternity. And that's something that we're beginning to look at in our finances and everything, as we're starting to look at some places that we can get rid of some things, and we've tried to do some planning to where we're going to have more that we can give or more that we can do. And someday on my to-do list, you know, over there somewhere, is, you know, have a little bit of savings so that I can have that, but that's not my primary goal. So today's message is really trust Jesus with your finances. Trust the gospel that He came and that He's going to provide and that He's going to take care of all of our needs, instead of looking at money as a God that's going to give us all kinds of things that we really don't need here. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for for today. God, I thank You for our finances, for the things that You provide for us, that You've given us everything the way that You have. God, we love You. We want to honor You with our entire lives, with our entire being, with our finances, with everything that we have. God, we want to lead people to Christ and be conformed into His image. God, help us to show people that we believe Your word, that we're willing to take up our cross and follow You. God, help us to learn always to be more devoted to You, to always focus on You and Your will, just like Jesus did while He was here. God, we ask that You would continue to bless us and show us how we can bless others. Show us how our finances can be used to bless other people, because You've given us everything. Father, we just ask that You would always convict us if we start looking at money with some sort of love, if we start making it into an idol or some type of a god, then God, I just ask that You would convict us. Use the Holy Spirit in us to convict us of that, so that we see that as a problem and so that we change our focus back to You. Lord, give us boldness in our faith. Help us to learn the gospel and that it be just rooted all throughout us. Help us to know the gospel well so that we can share it with other people. So that whenever we're talking about discussions of depression or discussions about money or discussions about work or whatever the case may be, God, that we share the gospel and how that fits into other people's lives and into our lives, the way that we live. God, You are an awesome Father. You are such a good, good Father. You take care of us in every way, and we want to focus on You. We want to focus on Your Son. We want to lead the life that You would have us live. I thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy, because we still continue to mess up, and we thank You that You forgive us. If we ask, You forgive us. We thank You for that. God, if there's someone here that needs to change their focus back to You today, then God, I would ask that You would just press it on their heart to do that, that You would envelop them with Your love. Help us know how to love people better. Whenever we exit this church today, God, give us courage, give us strength, give us everything that we need to make You famous. Instead of trying to make ourselves famous, to make You famous, to make You the one that people are searching after. This dark world that we're living in, the direction that our country is going, God, we need You more than ever right now to give us strength and give us boldness as followers of You to speak into this dark world, to be light like You would have us be. God, I also just ask that You would be with us today as we fellowship, as we get to know each other, and as we spend time together enjoying a meal, that we would remember the purpose of of the gathering that we come to each Sunday, that you would use us to encourage each other and build each other up, that we would share scripture, that we would learn and grow together. God, we love you, and we so want to honor you in every single way. We ask for all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. You guys have to say amen if you agree with me. Amen.